Praise God. I love the way God ministers, don't you? Praise God. Want you to stand with me tonight. Amen. And God has just a unique way, amen, of ministering and talking to us. You got your Bible. Turn to Acts, verse 9, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And, man, I don't know where this is going. I don't know how to put it together, but just follow what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no notes that I have tonight, but that's okay. I don't need notes to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Acts the 9th chapter, and we're so thankful for how God works. And Acts chapter 9, it talks about Saul of Tarsus, how he's going about to arrest people, and he had letters to arrest whosoever. And verse 3 of Acts chapter 9 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, seen you, Ananias, coming to him and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints which are at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a, somebody say it, chosen vessel. Say it, chosen vessel. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias, verse 17, went his way and entered into the house and put in his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with what? The Holy Ghost. Don't you love God's way of doing things? Amen. Hallelujah. Put your Bible down tonight. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your way. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Bible begins the first time we hear of Saul of Tarsus in Acts, the 7th chapter. They were stoning Stephen. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 that this man, Saul, held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. He held the coats. And they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. The scripture says in 758 of Acts. And now the same one has become a very vicious man that is going about to arrest people because he was doing this not to be mean, but he did it because he felt it was right. He felt it was appropriate because this was a Jewish man that believed in the Old Testament. And he hears about this Jesus thing and hear about people that receiving the Holy Ghost. And he said, that's not right. That can't be done. And he was against it till the Lord had to lower him down and get his attention. It's amazing through the Word of God how many ways that God has to come to people and remove their edge off of them in order to get to them. Are you thankful that God came to you one day and removed your edge? Amen. When God has to remove the edge off of you, there's a lot of people that have doubt and unbelief and disbelief, and they have that edge that says, no, no, not me. But God says, yes, I have a plan for you. Are you thankful for the plan that God has for your life? How beautiful. There was a man, the Bible said, named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. He was a rabbi. He was a very intellectual man of the Jewish faith. And he came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, you can't see or enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is what? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. Oh, friend, the Bible never tells us that Nicodemus was born again, but it did share with us that this man Nicodemus later was found in the scripture as being part, amen, of different things of the church of the living God. I'm thankful tonight that I have a God that knows how to get to us and knows how to get to where we at. There's another scripture that I find, not only Cornelius, not ever Saul, but even there are those that pray and how God gets to them, how God reaches to them, and how God has to work on them. Amen. Different ones in the word of the Lord that God has to reach to, God has to get to. And there are those that like to put the brake on. The rich young ruler come to Jesus and he had, good master, what must I do? And Jesus said, go sell everything you have. He was rich, he was young, and he was a great man of great riches, possessions, and he was a ruler. And he went away sorrowful, the Bible says, for he had great possession. I'm telling you, amen, today you don't have to go away sorrowful when God has great things for you. That is greater than your authority, greater than your possessions. I think for tonight, God has a way of getting to us, and God has things for us tonight. Amen. And my question tonight, what does God have to do to get to you? Do you have an edge? Do you have a barrier? Do you have that place where there's something in between you and God? Amen. Now, I want to just share with you, there was a mighty king, and this man that he should have known better, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. He became so great. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody help me out. Amen. He was a great man. He had great things in his life, his kingdom. There was this king that everything was happening in his life that, man, every popularity, strength, riches, you name it. But the Bible says he got lifted up and he got a little proud in his ways. Amen. And oh, friend, I want to talk to somebody today. Don't let your pride and selfish ways get in between you and God's will. God's will is that you be saved. God's will is that you make it. But there's sometimes we put too much of us in between God and ourselves. And God has to work on our edge. Amen. Oh, God has to take his grinder and start working on us. Amen. And like Brother Roach talked about today, amen, the potter has to put us on the wheel to start working on us to get to our heart, to get to our life, to make us a chosen vessel. But this king got lifted up. And the Bible says the next thing we knew it, that this king became like a beast in the field. Amen. On his hands and his knees, the Bible says he started roaming. Can you imagine? Everywhere he went, he ate grass like an ox. Amen. The Bible says also, it was like feathers that started growing all over his body. His nails became as claws. How would you like it to hear the rapport of those little kids in the kingdom? And they would look out there and they said, look, that's our king. That's our king walking around eating grass all over the place. He looks so like a vagabond. That's not an animal. That's the king there. I want to tell you, God has to get us through the place sometimes to get our attention. Until that man could yield himself, he walked around on all fours. Come on. My question tonight, what does God have to do to get to you? Are you king of your life? Do you have such an edge that God said, okay, you want it your way or you want it my way? When we have too much of an edge and God has to start grinding on us, because I want to tell you, you're a chosen vessel. Sarah, you're a chosen vessel. God wants to use your life. But if you have an edge that you say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not ready to do it. It's not if you're ready or not. If God chose you, and he has, amen, what does God have to do to get your attention? What does God have to do to get to your yield, get to your heart? Does God have to put you in a place that you become like a beast, that you're like a beast in the field, claws? I mean, and a strange thing. And somebody said, what is that in the field? That's my king. But God had a plan. God had a purpose for him. God had a reason. And even King Saul, or Tarsus, God had to work on and God had to shape him. But it was the goodness of God that led him to repentance. And this man, even though he felt he was right, he felt everything was right, but he was going against what was right. There's a lot of people feel that they're right. There's some people feel it's the right thing. But when you go against what's right in your effort to do what you feel is right, you put yourself in jeopardy. Saul of Tarsus had letters to arrest the people of God and to persecute them. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord shone his light. And there, when he was knocked off his high horse, so to speak, there he was blinded, crawling around on the dirt. Oh, this prestigious man, a doctor of the law named Saul, a man who had great education, a man who had authority, a man who had the papers to arrest people. Now he's on his knees, blinded. What does God have to do to get to you? Finally, he said, the Lord spoke out of heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he finally asked the right question. Who art you? Who are you, Lord? I thought you was this. I thought you was that. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. Oh, and the Lord began to give him a promise. He said, I basically knocked you off of your high horse to get your attention. I have chosen you. You are a chosen vessel to bear my name before kings, before people in this hour. Amen. I want to tell somebody, God will go through the means to get you. So what are you going to do with the grace of God? I was somewhere this weekend, and we were eating at a restaurant, and there were some other people there, and I heard the people behind me. I always have my radar on for some reason. And they asked the question, what did you do with grace? They said it in a Mississippi accent, what do you do with grace? And the Lord let me hear that. And my question, what do you do with grace? What do you do with the grace of God? Do you know the Bible says we could frustrate the grace of God? We could frustrate the grace of God. We could take the grace of God and let it be of none effect. What are you doing with grace? Is grace locked up in your life? Is grace locked up somewhere in the back of your life? Grace has tried to reach you. Grace is the amazing goodness of the Lord. Something that I'm getting what I don't deserve. It's a precious plan of God being activated by life. But what do you do with grace? When God is trying to woo you and court you and get your attention and try to love you, there's some people have an edge. There's some people had the break on. There's some people that just resist God. How long are you going to resist the Holy Ghost? Must God in his way have to melt you down? I've seen the Lord melt people down. I've seen God take people that they had to go through the melting in order for them to finally say yes to God. God's not here to torture us. God's here to save us. God's here to use our life. I do not believe one deal, amen, that God doesn't put people in his kingdom for just to be pretty pieces of china in the china cabinet. God didn't make you just to be on display in his china cabinet. You've heard the story, and I want to repeat it again, of a man who his wife loved fine china. She loved having that fine china up in her cabinet, and her kids grew up watching that. And mama would take the pieces out, and she would tell her kids, oh, your daddy bought this china for me. Look how beautiful it is. And she would dust it off and put it back in the china hutch, and they watched that through the years. But really, the china never left the china hutch. It was just something that they would look at and admire. Well, their mama died. These all young people, they were now out of the home, and their daddy remarried. And he remarried a lady, and, you know, their daddy was a pastor. And their mama, you know, died early. And they came back home to eat. Now, their daddy, who was the pastor of a church, was married to another lady because his wife had died, her husband had died, and it was all appropriate, and they'd been married probably about 6 months. Well, she wanted to cook a fine meal for these children and their daddy. When they get there, the table was set with fine china that was their mama's. They were upset. They got mad. They grumbled and they complained about her using my mama's china. Well, you know, their mama's never used that china. China's made to eat out of, not just to look pretty. And it happened a couple of times. And finally, one of them had the audacity to spill their complaint to their daddy. And they said, Daddy, you know, we love her, but why is it that she's using mama's china? And he said, honey, he said, you know, she talked to me about that. She said she thought it would be an honorable thing for you to enjoy the use of that china when you sat down at the table. She doesn't use that china unless you're here as as your mother's children, and we come together as a family. We don't eat out of it every day. He said, but it was a special occasion to have you children back home at the table. And she felt it would be appropriate for you to sit down and enjoy this china. I want to tell somebody today, God didn't make you just something pretty to look in a hutch, but God wants you to be some kind of vessel that he could use and enjoy for his glory. He didn't want you to come to church and just be one that just hears today. Amen. I'm telling you, there are backsliders in this house that need to pray through to the purpose of God. God wants you on fire for him. God don't want you to just be in the hutch. Come on. And some of you need to pray through the Holy Ghost. God wants to use this church. Hear me tonight. I'm gonna prophesy something in the Holy Ghost. Either you pray through or God will work on your edge. God will start working. You can run and go to another church, but God's going to work on your edge. And God will work on you, amen, until he gets your yes from him, or else calls you to go your way and forever be away from him. I'm telling you, God don't want to play with people that are stubborn. Amen. God loves you more than that. God cares about you. But it's time for the church to wake. We're in the finest hour to be for Jesus Christ. We don't have time to play. We don't have time to just fumble and grub and be all this. God's ready for the church to wise up and be his chosen people. Okay, now you're looking at me like I just stole your horse. I come to tell you the truth tonight. Do you want to preach to scratch your ears or preach to your heart? Do you want somebody to tell you God loves you? You belong not in the hutch. You belong at the table of God. You belong in the hands of God. You belong in the service of God. Hallelujah. What does God have to do to get the edge off of you? We've been services where the Holy Ghost has moved and you haven't moved. You've learned to play in your rut. And God's saying, hey, get out of your rut. What's that old saying, what a rut is? Anybody knows? A rut is a grave with both hands. I don't want to be in the grave. when I could be on holy ground with God. Hallelujah. We got young children right now that definitely need an example of the believers. Young people that need to watch people worship God and be on fire for God. Amen. God's wanting his church. Amen. Oh, I had people walk up to me and talk to me in the Holy Ghost this week and say things that was amazing. Amen. The other day I was at a 4th of July deal and a man walked up to me and told me things that blew my mind in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He walked up to me and he said, "Hey, Brother Crosswhite, I just felt led to," and this man's not a preacher. And he told me something. It's like, how did you know, basically, in my mind? I want to tell you, you know how he knew? God has a way of speaking. Amen. God has a way of ministering. Amen. God has a purpose, I'm telling you. And God has you in mind. You are part of his plan. Hear me. You are the chosen vessels that he wants to use. Amen. He wants your hand in his hand. He wants your heart in his hand. He wants your life in his plan. He wants you to be his people, the sheep of his pasture. God has great things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. But old stubborn kings had to go through the power of God's reckoning and God's refining. Amen. Hear me today. What does God have to do to get your edge? Does he have to get the grinder out tonight? Does he have to get the sander out? So how many of you ever cut a board before and it had little edges on it? And you're going to use that. You didn't want your kids to rub their hand on it and get a splinter. You had to get the sander out and sand it and work with it. Tonight, I want God to work on me, but I want to be pliable. I want to be usable. I want to be used for the master's sake. Amen. What does God have to do? Amen. Tonight, to get you engaged in his purpose and his plans. Hallelujah. The master cares about you. God has great things for souls that will look to him and say, "God, I can't feel you, but God, I trust you." Somebody uses the same old thing. Don't let feelings become your tyrant. Don't let feelings become your king. "Well, I don't feel like worshiping God." Well, feelings are not of God anyway. We don't work off of feelings. We work off of faith. Man, I didn't feel like walking around this building a while ago. I probably limped around this building, but I said, "God, I'm going to do it for you." And I felt the genuine victory when I finally made it all around. I'm telling somebody today, if we worked off of feelings and lack of feelings and all this, we would be depleted and would be empty. But God loves those that would press their way through the crowd, even walk through the press and get on their hands and knees and say, "I got to just touch the hem of his garment." Amen. Tonight, I wonder if somebody in this place wants the glory of God, the grace of God in operation in your life and your soul. What does God have to do to get to you? Amen. Oh, friend, God has great things for us. I want to be the Cornelius that God just says, "Angel, go to him." Oh, how would you like the Lord to speak to you and say, "Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial. I've watched your sacrifices. I've seen and heard your prayers. And I've got an answer for you." Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. Amen. How many wants an answer tonight to be on the way tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. That Cornelius answer. Amen. Oh, where God says, "I see that heart that is seeking me. I see that giving life, that heart." Amen. That says, "God, I want to know more of you. I want your grace in my life. I want your power. I want your anointing." Amen. Come on. What are you doing with grace? Amen. What are you doing with grace? Where's grace at in your life? Is grace in the forefront of your life where you say, "God, you've been good to me. You have blessed me. You have kept me. God, I want to get a hold of grace and hang on to grace. I want to hang on to the things of God and godliness in my life." Praise God. Well, that's just Pastor Crosswhite. We don't have to do it. Children, we don't have, that's just Brother Crosswhite ranting and raving. And you know what I mean? No. If the Lord is trying to get to you and you're putting your brakes on in front of your children, you're causing your children to be lost and become rebellious. You need to say, "God, I want my home to be in continuity with the pulpit, with the word of God, for the plan of God. Hear me tonight. The grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ wants to work in you. God wants to make you a chosen vessel. God wants to put you on his table that he can look at you and say, wow, look at this. That's Abigail Murray. Abigail, that's mine. This is, look at my fine china. Look where I brought her from. Oh, look, ever since she was a child, she came to the house of God. But she's a chosen vessel. Abigail, you just never know where you're going to be in a few years, honey. How young are you right now? 12 years old. Think about it. Add 10 years to that. 10 plus 12 is what? 22 years old. Amen. Sis Crosswhite, how old were you when you was in Snyder? 22 years old. We were pastoring a church. Anybody else 22 in this place? Anybody 23? 23-year-old? 21-year-olds? Nina? Brother Jerry raised his hand. Yeah, 21-year-olds. 24-year-old Cherish. I want to ask you, would you let God use your life? The way that you let God use your life, Abigail, is right now. You learn to yield while you're 12 years old, while you're your age. Abigail, how old are you? She had to think. 15. Can God use you at your age? He sure wants to. He don't want you to be the china in the cabinet. It's just every now and then. He wants you to be used every day at his table. Glorianna, you're 13, right? What does God have to do to use you? He wants you to be something special in his sight. He wants to use your life. He wants to bless your life. What about others in this place tonight? Rhett, how young are you? He's ready at 9 years old. 9 years old. I mean, a 9 year old Rhett, can God use a 9 year old Rhett? Can God use a 9 year old? Yes, sir. He sure can. And can God use your age? Yes, sir. Well, I'm too old. I'm telling you, you're not too old. Well, I've been in church 37 years, Brother Cross. So what? Seniority is not in the hand of God and the plan of God. Seniority don't even count. Amen. You got to be a willing vessel every day. Don't you know it's a daily yield? A daily surrender? When we get to the place where we know the ropes, we've been in church. Oh, yes. Thank God for those that have been faithful. But faithful people learn to serve God on a daily walk. That's right. I want God to have that open door. And it starts right now at your age, your time. Would you let God have your life? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this to me? I thought I was doing it for the sake of God. I thought I was right. But the Lord had to work on Saul of Tarsus. And Saul finally said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. You're persecuting me. And I'm thankful for the goodness. Are you thankful for the grace of God in spite of us? Are you thankful for God's plan in spite of you? Amen. How many of you ever felt stubborn in your spirit before you knew it? You were spitefully stubborn. Spitefully stubborn, where you just said, nothing gonna move me. I am who I am. That's the way I am. Uh-oh. That's the people God has to get the grinder on. And oh, Saul was that way. I want to be a willing vessel for the king to use. Amen. I want the grace and the goodness of the Lord tonight to operate in my life. Amen. Lift your hands. I want somebody to talk to the Lord with me tonight. God, have your way in my life. Lord, mold me and make me after your plan, after your will, after your ways. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Lord, here am I. Hallelujah. Come on, would you give your... What does God have to do? Well, come on, what does he have to do? Does he have to melt you down on all fours like a beast of the field? Or does he have tonight a simple yes to your plan? I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be a willing vessel. Does God have to get the grinder out, King? Come on, King. Does God have to humble you his way? Does God get the open door to your life? A yes. Tonight in prayer, when the Lord spoke to me this, I felt the assurance of the Lord that from this congregation, God has plans. There's young people that God wants to use so beautifully. There's people that God is ready to use. In a mighty way. I felt this so strong tonight. That he is more than hope. He has an absolute, absolute power. That he wants to put in your life. That yoke of anointing. The calling of the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. God has chosen vessels in the house that he's after. Stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Haradamanaya salamaya. The Lord's calling willing vessels right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I speak to somebody? Every eye closed, head bowed. I'm going to speak to somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight. You pushed against God. When God has reached to you with arms of mercy and help. The Lord is just trying to reach you and he cares about you tonight. In spite of your pushing, he's still reaching. He's here tonight as a gentle God. He cares about you. He's here to lead you into his marvelous, marvelous ways. Don't push against God. Don't put the brakes on. Come on, would you follow the leading of the Holy Ghost? Tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is trying to get a hold of your heart. Your edge. Must he have to melt it down? Or will you surrender that and say, God, here am I. I'm yours completely. Tonight the Master's calling for you. Hallelujah. I want you to get out of your chair, saints of God. I want you to come to the front tonight. I'm asking you to come immediately. Don't wait. Don't stand your pew or your chairs. I want you to come to the front. If you can't come and stand, I want you to come find a place in the front and just sit. But I want us to come together close around the front. Hallelujah. The Master's calling. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. What does God have to do to get you? Come on, to get your edge. You've used all kinds of excuses in your life and blamed. What does God have to do to get your edge? What does God have to do to get His purpose activated in you? He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your soul. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let the Master work on your heart. Come on, take the brakes off tonight. Come on, ignore those voices and feelings that are ruling you. Those tyrant feelings that are holding you back. You got feelings that you've submitted to that are not of God. There's voices in your brain that are not of the Master, that you have allowed to rule and ruin you from great things in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Here am I, Jesus. Help me, Lord. One man had to pray, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief, oh God. Help me in my unbelief, Lord Jesus.
I will be what you've called me to be.
Come on, God's wanting a yes tonight.
I'll say yes.
Lord, yes. Yes. God, in your name. God, I want your will. I want your plan. Hallelujah. I want your plan, God.
I will be.
Hallelujah. Come on, God's not going to make a fool out of you if you just yield. We make fools of ourselves. We make fools of ourselves.
My desire.
Come on, reach to the Master tonight. Lord, I need you.
I
want to be what you want me to be, God.
That's what I'll be.
Jesus.
I will be what you call me to be. I'll
say yes.
Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me.
Come on. Come on, let the Master work on you. Come on, let the Master work on you. Come on, pray to the Lord tonight. God, I need you. Come on, express it. Lord, I need to feel you. If you haven't felt the Holy Ghost, ask God. Lord, let me feel you again. Let me feel your grace at work in me, oh God. Let me feel your mercy, God, Lord. Let me feel your hand on me, Lord Jesus.
That's what I will be.
Hallelujah.
I will be what you want me to be. I'll say
yes. Lord, I agree.
My
desire
passionately
is to be
what you've called me to be. What I'll be.
Hallelujah.
I will be,
oh God.
What is called.
Hallelujah.
To be. I'll say
yes.
Lord,
but I agree.
My
desire passionately is to be.
What
is. Come on, let the Master work. He works with willing clay, yielded clay. Come on, He works with yielded lives.
What you've called me to be.
Come on, don't hold back on God.
Say yes.
Come on, make a surrender tonight to the Master. But here am I. Work on me, Jesus. Work on me, Jesus. Work on me, Jesus.
That's what I'm feeling. I will be what you've called me to be. I will.
Come on, let the Master work on you.
I say yes.
Come on, the Lord, what does he have to do to get you?
Lord, I agree.
Come on, would you give him you tonight? Hallelujah.
I will be what you call me to be.
I'll say yes.
Lord,
I agree.
My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. What I'll be. I say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
My God, oh Jesus, hallelujah. Sister Crosswood, hang on just a minute. I want to help you with something tonight. You know what keeps a pastor whenever you go through things and you go through valleys, you go through problems. You say, Brother Crosswood, how do you stay up? How do you stay up whenever everything in life is pounding you? Because believe me, you go through things. My wife will tell you, we go through things, tremendous trials. We go through things where everything happens. It don't just happen, one little drop of hail falling on your head. Severe hailstorms, problems come. Sister Sharon would tell you, she's raised in a pastor's house, she would tell you, waves and waves of things. So Brother Crosswell, how do you keep victory? How do you do it? How do you pray when you can't feel the Holy Ghost? And I want our preachers, young ministers, to hear this today. I mean, there's times in church, I don't feel like climbing up these steps, but I do it. I don't feel like worshiping, but I do it. What keeps you going? When I can't feel the Holy Ghost for me, I pray and get a burden for somebody else. When I can't pray for me and I don't feel it for me, I start praying, Lord, touch this one. And I try to get on a burden and a load for somebody else. Sister Sharon, I heard you say, yeah. That's how your daddy made it. That's how your mama made it. Because of a burden. When you get to that place where you're praying but you don't feel anything, pray with somebody with a burden for them. If I can't feel God for me, I start praying for somebody else and I get a burden. It doesn't mean they're worse off than me. No, no, no. It just feels... Amen. When God uses me to put my shoulder and give them a boost in prayer, it's amazing whenever this week I started praying, an urgency of the Holy Ghost just started working, and I started praying for individuals. The Lord started working. God started giving me victory when I started praying for other people. And my wife would tell you Thursday night in a service, and no clue, the Holy Ghost began to speak. I didn't know who the individual was, and still really don't know who. But there was somebody in the audience that night in that large crowd that was used of God at one time, that used to have a relationship with God, but let something get them. They were there that night, and I seen somebody bound up hand and feet. And I said things to the Holy Ghost that I didn't even have a clue. After the service, the pastor pulled me aside and he said, that lady that you was talking to, Brother Crosswhite, and I didn't know who I was talking to. He said, used to be tremendously used of God. She was a pastor's wife. She and her husband pastored churches. He said, today, so far removed, so cold, so gone. And he said, you didn't know, but he said, God was using you. He said, every detail which you said was so. And I told him, I said, bro, I just obeyed God. I just gave an individual came to me, seen the face of somebody who was so wrapped up. I don't want to ever become that type of person that's so wrapped up, tied up. And I asked him, I said, how did it start? How did it start, brother? And he said, it started like this. They were the type that felt entitled because they were a preacher's wife. They felt that they didn't have to pray anymore. This lady was used. She got used to everybody lifting her up. that she felt she was exempt. She started courting some things in her life that were against God. And today, so locked up. Remember a while ago I said, even at Gloriana's age, well, yeah, Gloriana 13, right now is your time. Because if you're not learning to yield right now at 23, you'll be so locked up that God says, I have to get big grinders after you. Learn right now to yield to the Holy Ghost, Katie Pirtle. Right now at your age, 10 years old. Right now at your age, Katie, your pastor. And if you can't feel the Holy Ghost for you, always be that one that starts praying for somebody else. And I promise you, the anointing of the Lord will start flowing through willing vessels and yielded vessels. Hallelujah. I don't know who that's for, but please take it to the bank right now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift. Come on, lift your heart. Lift your heart. Come on, saint. I'm pleading with somebody's soul tonight. I'm talking to somebody's soul tonight. Your condition tonight. Come on, your condition depends on your yield. God wants to use you. God has greater plans for you. God has great plans for your life, greater than what you suspect, greater than what you project for even yourself. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Brother Red at? Where's Red? Come here, Red. I'm going to tell you what happened. It's probably about 6-8 months ago. I was hurting. Come on up here, Bo. I was hurting all over my body. And I couldn't even think. I couldn't even think. I was over there praying. Everything was pounding me. You've been that way where pain and you felt so cold. Because the only thing you could think was hurting, your body hurting. And I was trying to pray. And all of a sudden, a little hand, come on, put his hand on my shoulders. I was kneeled down. And Rhett began to pray for Brother Crosswhite. And when I felt that little hand praying for me, and I heard that little voice, all of a sudden, pain left my body. And I felt the hand of God through the hand of a little boy. Oh God. Church, we can't lose it. We can't lose this. Come on, we can't lose this. We can't let it dissolve. God has so many great things for you and I. Hallelujah. Will you pray with that person near you? Go to somebody and pray with them right now. Come on, your hand may become the hand of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, be that hand, be that one. Be that tool, be that instrument. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yada, yada, yada. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Sunday school teacher was a missionary. And I remember her. She told us, we were just in children's church. She told us one time, if you're easily distracted, if you're the type of person always looking around and you're easily distracted in church and worship, she said the best thing for you to do is close your eyes. And just put yourself right before Jesus. And she said, and I'll never forget, I was the type of person, I was always scared. And I always was watching everybody else. And I was easily distracted watching everybody else pray and get something from God. But that little boy that day heard a tip how to get to the feet of Jesus. And I started closing my eyes way back then and put myself at the feet of Jesus. When I worship, and it's so lot, a whole lot better. But if you're that person that's so easily distracted, learn to close your eyes. Pray. Amen. There's some times in the Holy Ghost, I'll open my eyes. The Lord can let me watch people. And I watch people just watching other people. I watch people in prayer. It's just sitting there looking around. And I go, God, please don't let them just be distracted. They can be used. The enemy knows if you're a usable vessel, he's going to distract you. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse. Amen. Get in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with us again. Hallelujah. Approach the Master with me. Lord, I love you. Your will be done. Hallelujah. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me thy will. I am waiting, yielded and still. Would you sing it? Own way, Lord. Sing it with me. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and sing it again.
the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am weighed, yielded and still. One more time, sing it to the Lord. Own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, would you worship the Lord with me? Hallelujah, you're beautiful, Lord. Come on, can you tell the Lord how great he is to you? Lord, you're beautiful, you're merciful, you're everlasting and holy. Precious you are, Lord. One and only you are, Jesus. Hallelujah, beautiful you are, my King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be that vessel that God wants you to be. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love you. I want to go to heaven with you. Amen. I want there to be room for others to come go to heaven with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Be in prayer this week for our service Tuesday, our ministry Thursday. Amen. In every class, every jail ministry service. Amen. All the children that we reach, you pray that God would help us to be effective. Amen. God bless you. If you see somebody not here today, call them, encourage them in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just a touch maybe is what they need. God bless you. Thank you for praying tonight. Amen. God bless. Let's go to heaven. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.